thank you for the song. I couldn't really not wear this jumper today. and we're going to spend some time this morning just exploring, really, the theme of joy. Because it's not always bursting with happiness. It's not always that explosion from the heart that Mary had when she sang the Magnificat, and we'll look at that a bit more later on. But sometimes joy is that deep awareness of the presence of God, even in the midst of sadness. And we're going to pause for a few moments at the beginning of the service here just to acknowledge that a lot of people are in a place of sadness at that time. We're going to think of those who are bereaved. And we're going to remember God's promise that in a little while, our sorrow will be turned to joy. So can I invite you just to close your eyes as we come into worship? And let's just settle our hearts before God. Just be aware of what you're feeling. It may be tiredness. It may be hunger. You may be feeling bursting with energy, or you might be feeling really tired. You might be aware of your aches and pains, or you might be aware that you've not been feeling so well and are feeling better. You might be feeling thankful. You might be feeling emotionally overwhelmed. You might be feeling really sad. You might be feeling frustrated. Lord God, thank you that we can bring all of our feelings and thoughts to you. Thank you that we can come to you just as we are. That we don't have to wait until we're bursting with a joyful song on our hearts. The Psalms talk about pouring out our hearts to the Lord. And Lord God, we pour out our hearts to you this morning. Whether that's with joy or sorrow or anything in between. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who wants us to be honest with you. Because you know what's going on in our lives and you know how we feel. You know all our thoughts and hopes and dreams. You know our accomplishments and our prides. And you know our regrets and our failures. And we thank you so much that you love us just the same. Please take us, Lord, however we're feeling, whatever our week's been like, whatever our anxieties are for the day or the week to come, we come to you just as we are. And Lord, we pray particularly for those among us who are grieving. We pray, Lord, even as we grieve, for those who are still with us but not in the health that we would like. Lord, for all those who are on our hearts, we trust you because we know that they are on your heart too. And we thank you, Lord, that we can have that presence of joy because we know that you hold them. Amen. And don't worry, I'm not going to work you too hard this morning. I hope you're all saving your energy for this evening. I know that I want to. I wasn't able to be here for last year's carol concert, and so I'm really excited to be here this year. But I must say, if you do get any time this afternoon to pop up, even just after the service, to pop up and see the Christmas Tree Festival, it is really pretty in there, and they are really appreciating our support and joining together with them. So, if you do see any of the ladies who look like they're part of the team up there, just make it known that you're from the Baptist Church, because it's been great getting to know them, and they're really thrilled that we're doing so much down here as well. So, it's really nice to build up that contact. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." And this was after she'd been to visit Elizabeth. Funny enough, I looked back on the service that I did right at the beginning of December last year, before you voted to call me. And I think I used this passage then as well. But it just seemed to fit today with the theme of joy. So I couldn't really not mention Mary's song. And this came not at the beginning of her pregnancy, but when she went to visit Elizabeth. And it was only after she had been greeted by Elizabeth, and both the baby in her and inside Elizabeth had sort of recognised each other in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and that excitement from within that the foreteller of the Messiah was about to be born, and the Messiah himself. And so exciting that those ladies were related to one another, and not only that, but that Elizabeth was recognised as being from the lineage of the priests as well. She was from Aaron's lineage, so it wasn't just her husband Zechariah. And this meeting kind of encouraged and built up the faith between the two women. And probably for Zechariah as well, because we remember that when God told him that his wife was going to have a child, he didn't respond in faith, did he? He responded with questioning and with doubt. But it was his wife and her cousin who responded in faith. Sorry, did you have something to say, Ken? Was that typical of man, was it? You're in a dangerous position there. So let's remember the context as we read her song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed." She wasn't wrong, was she? "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." There are different types of joy, aren't there? There's the one that we've mentioned already, when your heart is bursting, it's overflowing, aware of blessing. And then there's the other sort of joy, which Paul talks about, that's not dependent on circumstance, but on the deep, deep knowledge of God and his grace. And as was mentioned in our Advent readings, joy flows out of hope. The hope of the Messiah, the hope that the state of the world as we know it now isn't forever, isn't the end of the story. And Mary's joy wasn't random. It came from abiding, living faith. And we know that she must have had that abiding, living faith from her response to the angel's news. But also her words weren't random. They were echoes from the Psalms, which again demonstrates how deeply she knew her scriptures. And they're echoes from the song of Miriam after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and were saved from Pharaoh's army. And they're echoes from the song of Hannah, who was also childless, and sang this song of praise. And if you look at the two, they're actually very similar. And both women were filled with that joy that can only come from the Holy Spirit, even though they had that foreshadowing, that foreboding, that both were going to have to give up that child at some point. So were they a copycat song? No, I don't think so. But I do think that they were the song of holding on to a promise and an expression of deep faith. And deep faith is being able to say those words even when all doesn't seem very hopeful or very joyful. And if you would, turn with me to John chapter 15, if you've got a Bible handy. And this is where Jesus has announced that he's going to be going and leaving the disciples. And they're feeling rather bewildered and bereft, even though he's not actually left them. And let's go from verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. There's a glimpse there that even though there will be grief, there will be joy following. The Spirit of Truth, another helper, will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. And one day, on that day, you will realize, this is verse 20 now, that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You have heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming.
He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And he goes on to talk about what we know as the famous passage about remaining in the vine, remaining in his love. And we skip to chapter 15, to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So how do we get this joy? We get it from abiding in Jesus and from asking him by his Spirit to abide, to remain, to live in us. Right in the middle of that passage, there's a nugget. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's just meditate on that for a few minutes. Lord, we love that worship song because it talks of all the paradoxes that you are, that are in Jesus. And as we look at Mary's song, in praise of you and of who you are, we see those same paradoxes. We see that you exalt the humble and you bring down the proud. We see that you fill the hungry and send the rich away. We see the beginnings of the Beatitudes, that those who are poor in spirit will indeed be blessed.